807 FM Talk 1065 and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you here, Thursday style. Rob Holbert from Land Yap will join us around 8:30. Says he's going to talk about story time. He's going to the Mobile Public Library to do story. No, okay, just okay, I made that up. But he is going to bring us up to date on a couple stories and one, you know, that we've been talking about for a while. Councilman Fred Richardson's lawsuit threats over who's going to be president of the council. We'll get an update on that coming up with Rob at 8:30. Also, the online opinion poll question that has been popping for days now. I wonder if there are politicos, people in Montgomery that, well, I know there's some of them look at this website from time to time, fmtalk1065.com. Are unscientific. I don't claim this to be any kind of scientific deal. This are for entertainment purposes only. Online opinion poll question: with Mississippi moving towards a state lottery, is it time for Alabama to vote on having its own state lottery? Right now, it has moved down some. It was 95% of y'all saying yes yesterday, now 93%. But that should be something of notice. Speaking of Mississippi, too, Dalton, you were talking about Mississippi and spending their BP money.
Yeah, the Mississippi special session came to an end last night with the governor, Phil Bryant, signing several bills, but one of those, he also signed the lottery into effect. Yes. And say they want to use that lottery money to help repair crumbling highways and bridges, but something that we've heard about here in Alabama, a lot of people scratching their heads wondering why this couldn't happen to us. Yesterday, the governor signed a bill that will pay Mississippi $750 million, and 75% of that will go to the Gulf counties, the counties that are on the Gulf in Mississippi. 75% of the BP oil settlement that's going to Mississippi, which $750 million settlement, will be paid through 2033 to make up for lost tax revenue from that 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill in the Gulf. They say lawmakers have already spent $52.4 million of the money, but nearly $100 million sitting in the bank, and those 15 yearly payments of $40 million a year will begin in 2019. And the official way that'll, you know, shake out, they said that, 75% of the future payments will go to six Gulf counties.
Okay. Can I add in here just some things that stand out to me? Number one, so Mississippi is the person in the family that, let's say, everybody gets the bag of candy from grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a child that eats the bag of candy on the way home to the house, and then there's another child that a couple weeks later still has candy because they're getting a couple, you know, every once in a while. And
that'd be totally me.
So you'd be Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chance I might be Alabama, at least on the candy front. Maybe not on Monday on money, but you notice that Mississippi now
mm-hmm.
is built the structure for the doling out of the money. That was burned through here in Alice Sweet Home, Alabama.
Gone.
Two sessions ago.
Mm-hmm.
Two sessions ago, we had to add the money. You know, we've been, the budget in Montgomery, and believe me, I believe we got the issues here aplenty, let alone 93% of the budget being earmarked in the general fund. But we have been bailed out, whether through federal government or BP money. We're living we're not living from our paycheck. What we're living from is our paycheck plus, you know, Aunt Gertrude died and left us, you know, $7,000.
Yeah.
And they got us through this year. And then something else happened, you know, some kind of windfall the next year. Mississippi is obviously not, you know, it could take their time to dole this out. I'm sure there's people that don't like certain parts of it. I haven't mm-hmm. looked through the whole thing. But it shows me they've waited. And then the other part, come on. 75% going to the coastal counties.
Mm-hmm. And there were...
Versus now they have at least more coastal presence than we do, but the coastal counties getting the lion's share, 75%. In other words, in Jackson, they didn't take all the money like they did in Alabama in Montgomery.
So you're saying one of the sides are acting like they've been here before.
I don't know if they have, but they are acting like
that,
it. Yeah. Unless I find something else out there, maybe some other shoe to drop on this, that then I go, well, they're a bunch of idiots too. But right now, the way it sits, I'm like, you know, good for Mississippi. They could wait a little bit of time. In Alabama, we're like, oh, hey, you got to have that money now. We got it because it's going to fix our problems now. Mm-hmm. And then we'll have another problem. We'll fund out some other way to fix it.
And I guess the special session lasted 5 days. There were some members of the House that wanted the money distributed evenly
right,
among
sure.
Mississippi's 82 counties, but most most of those were tabled or voted down. The House ended up passing that bill 99-10. But do you think, with there being, you know, I guess six counties that they say were affected most by this in Mississippi, and would you say when Alabama, when we were arguing this, was it basically Mobile and Baldwin counties versus everyone, or did we have a bit of a bigger coalition with some of the counties around us?
Yeah, well, you know, I would... Yes, I would say that I could go back and check this, but I would imagine it would be the folks in Montgomery that would be part of it. And we did so many stories about it, but I would, you're going to throw Connecticut County in there, you're going to throw Clark County in there, Washington County, Monroe County. They were probably Escambia County, you know, Escambia County, of course, all working because it had a, you know, getting that money back. But they were those voices were, you know, only a small number in comparison to the rest of the state. And you had a governor at that point saying this is the only way out. And this is the problem. We've only way outed ourselves so many times in the state. There's going to be a year that we don't get some big largesse back for the federal government, or we don't get some BP settlement. There's going to, if you lived your life that way and didn't base your budget on your salary. You based it on, well, remember Uncle Merle 2 years ago left us $2,000. I mean, if that's, eventually the chickens come home to roost, and, well, they don't. They come home to roost, but the roost is gone because he got repossessed. I mean, it's, I'm sure I could find out something more here that will change my mind. But with the information I have right now, I think that Mississippi looks like they're the better on this.
So we should put you under the undecided.
Yeah, well, temporarily, decidedly undecided. So yeah, the three. So I guess the six counties would be the coastal counties and their northern neighbors. So Hancock, Harrison, Jackson, but then George, Stone, and Pearl River.
I believe so. And listen to how this ended up shaking out over the course. I mean, since 2010, this has been going on. It says, from this article from the Clarion Ledger, all told, Mississippi will receive $2.4 billion total in reparations from the disaster, at least $1.6 billion of that spent directly on the coast. So that's right around 75% of how much money they've gotten from that BP oil spill disaster. About 75% will be spent on the coast. But I also wonder, with the casinos down on the coast, I wonder if they maybe had some extra help from the casino lobbyists or anyone.
Quite possibly. Because but did the casinos, I do not know this, but at least begs the question, did the fact that they have extra revenue coming in. Listen, Mississippi is no gleaming example of great, you know, a state with everything perfect in it. I'm not saying that. But did the fact that they have extra revenue coming from other sources let them have a little time to make decisions about the BP money, sort it out, instead of just going, oh, it's a bag of candy. Delicious. Delicious. Eat it all.
I love this quote from Fat Baby and Elisa's on Pops Ferry Road.
Fat Baby.
You like that?
What's up, Fat Baby?
In Biloxi, the owner, Mike Elise, says he's expecting the lottery to boost his overall business. This quote coming from WLOX, saying, at the end of the day, it will mean people coming in here that have never been in here before, picking up lottery tickets and other items. So all the way, I think it will increase business at the convenience stores and wherever else they put these things. He also says he's happy to see the money that people will be spending on the lottery in other states that they stay in Mississippi, saying, quote, anytime the lottery gets big, everybody travels over to Louisiana to get lottery tickets. Any money we can keep here, I think will be a good fit for Mississippi.
Which, well, though, I mean, there's the grass is always greener, right?
Correct.
So people here say, oh, Mississippi's got the gambling, and then there's folks in Mississippi go, well, they go over there for the lotto. But, you know, that's like a side part of the discussion. We can have this continued lotto one, but I think the bigger discussion is whatever the revenue stream is, with the information I have right now, it seems like Mississippi was more judicious about figuring out,
like, it's like a chess game,
they
made their moves right, appropriately.
Where we were, you know, we had to have it now, because we did.
Well, that's kind of the American way, right? Fast food service.
Yeah, well, that's...
And they took their time. They went the European way and took their time and enjoyed their adult beverages and their meal and had a chit-chat and dessert.
No, I thought they just threw everything in the crock pot and it would be good, but it wouldn't be ready right away.
This could be up to a year before you're able to purchase your lottery tickets in the state of Mississippi.
Talk more about that when we get back. Also, funerals and invitation list on my mind. We'll get to that coming up in... just about 3 minutes right here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Phone number 343-0106. Friday, 22, FM Talk 106.5. The phone line, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Go around the horn here on Twitter as well. I'm at FM Talk 106.5.
I'm at Dalton Orwig.
And you saved the youngest for last. I'm at Kelly Kate K2K Finley.
Right. Between us, you are the youngest. That is for sure. And I am the elderly one in the studio, so it's all my fault. Hop on the line. Rob Hulbert's going to join us here shortly as well. All right. A couple things we can talk a little bit more about this Mississippi story. And Dalton, you were rolling out a couple more facts here during the break.
Yeah, because we had some texters asking exactly where that money is going. And it appears to me, reading this article from the Clarion Ledger, that they don't know exactly where they're going to put the money yet. They just know how they're going to divvy it up. And this is interesting to me. So BP actually paid their first settlement payment to Mississippi in 2016, and that was $150 million payment. They've only spent about $52.5 million of that $150 million. They still have $97 million.
Of the first payment.
Of the first payment. Still have $97 million.
Hey, Montgomery, y'all listening?
And that's in the bank. And then Mississippi will start receiving installments of $40 million a year beginning next year through 2033. But with the governor signing that bill yesterday, that will give 75% of the BP settlement payment to the six southernmost counties in Mississippi, the six that were most affected that are on the Gulf. They said that that 75% of the future settlement payments will go to a Gulf Coast Restoration Fund, and that is for projects specifically in those six southernmost counties. And then the remaining 25% will be going to a state BP settlement fund for some statewide projects. And they have this 7-member advisory board. The Mississippi Development Authority will administer the Gulf Coast Restoration Fund, and that 7-member advisory board will approve applications for projects that are coming up. And then the legislature,
like we have our group here, the the Gulf Advisory Council. Okay.
And then the legislature controls the rest of that statewide fund, that 25%. So they'll have to people will propose projects that they would like in those six southernmost Mississippi counties. And then that Mississippi Development Authority decides where that money will go.
Okay, so, but once again, the easiest takeaway for me to understand here is that from their first payment from BP, they still have money in the bank.
Yeah, they barely spent more than one-third of that $150 million payment. And so now when they get Mississippi gets $40 million each year, that's easy to split up since they said 75% to the Gulf and 25% to the state. They'll just take $30 million each year, give that to the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and then take the remaining $10 million and give it to the rest of the cities and counties in the state.
All right, very good. So that's what's going on across the border in Mississippi. Also, we will get into the latest attack on Attorney General Sessions from the president and the others around the president. But I do want to just ask you this question. This is, and I'm going to ask this of y'all, and I'm going to ask you, the listeners, to let me know. The real question here, because the story, I don't know who had it up, I got to find it here, that we've heard all the talk about who's not on the invitation list for John McCain's funeral, right? Of course, they had the services there in Arizona. Then he'll go lie in state in Washington. But the story came out yesterday that Sarah Palin, not on the invite list.
Mm.
The
really?
Running mate of John McCain, right? Former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin has been excluded from the funeral. They say she is not on the list either. You know, the big discussion about about President Trump not being on there. Sarah Palin's not on it either. Yes.
I was just going to say, don't you think it'd be very odd, the contentious relationship that Senator McCain and President Donald Trump had in real life, don't you think it'd be odd if he attended the funeral? Because those on one side who are always finding something wrong with something would look at that as not being authentic, that is just part of a big reality show type adventure, and there's just no reason for it. I don't know why anyone is surprised that the president was not invited on that list.
I'm about to flip this whole thing on its ear, because I want to ask a question here. This is a real question. Do you make an invitation list for your funeral?
Well, someone yes, he did, because he was so,
I know he did.
Okay,
that's what we're talking
so
about. I'm talking about, folks, do you make an invitation list for your funeral? I mean, that to me, that... Take the politics out of it. Right. This is just Sullivan saying, okay. You know,
I think that if you're in a family where you've had some family issues, the dynamics have changed multiple times, I think that what you may say is, here are the people I don't want at my funeral. Because if you have, you know, blended families, step families, extended families, adopted families, grandparents, uncles, and it's your day. And it's up to you. That's what a will is for, so that you can let people know what to do when you're not there.
A mechanism to do it. But to me, it seems like the oddest of oddities that you would... give a darn what's going on back here on Earth. You know,
you have the last say on something that's very important to your family.
Who does that? Is it common?
Well, I think it only makes news because people who are famous, that's who we read about and that's who we learn about.
Do you know anybody that's had a guest list for their funeral? Because I don't know anyone.
And
no, you, I don't either.
I don't think a lot could change in a lifetime, but I don't think I would be disinviting anyone for my funeral. I would leave that up to whoever, you know, if there were any family conflicts, which I don't have any, but I know my family, some family members that have had conflicts in the past. And usually when a funeral comes up, that's the best time to bury the family hatchet.
Right.
But... there have been instances where the divide and the anger between people is just too much, mm-hmm. and usually the surviving members of whoever's family will just not let that person know when the... I've seen that happen before.
Don't let them know when
it is.
Hey, and listen, this may be a thing that happens a lot of places. I'm just saying, I've never seen that. I've never, it's something new to me.
But to someone like him with a military mind, okay, where he planned out every single move, moment, and everything, it would make sense that he is thinking of his family and he doesn't want his family to be put in a situation where it becomes a spectacle. And maybe there's certain people from his past that he dealt with who he loved in person, but he would think that maybe they would use his time to make the story and the narrative about them instead of what it should be about, which is saying their last goodbyes to an American hero.
But whatever it would be, let's put it in like that's it, that level, understood. But let's say there's somebody, old drunk Uncle Merle, mm-hmm. right? I have a feeling he makes a scene at a lot of things. If I'm sitting down, you know, if I'm doing a will and stuff, I want to protect my family, my children,
yes.
you know, and do that. Other than that, I mean, the way I see life is at that point, the cares of the earthly world or something.
But maybe what you do with Uncle Earl is you make sure he's at the family
hour.
He's at the family hour and he's heading that up. But perhaps you don't have him at the more sensitive time because he's known for blurting out things that are inappropriate. He's known for making the moments awkward. And when a family is grieving, you have all types of emotions. I mean, the only thing that I've had, and I'm thankful that a lot of my family has done this, is because we're so spread out, we have cremation services, right? And so what people do is they say, we'll plan this date out so that all of you can make it in. And that's the extent of hearing from people. Other than that, you're either there or you're not. But I've never heard of anyone being,
excluded? Or just
excluded,
or it's not even the exclusion. How about included? I mean, the fact that it's just a weird thing that there's a list.
There's a whole other population that does things so differently. I mean, look at the political cycle we're in. Could you ever have dreamed up this nightmare that's going on right now?
Yeah. Probably. I have all kind of dreams, so. All right. 8:30 FM Talk 106.5. Coming back, plus Rob Holbert from Lanyap joins us. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Thursday. By the way, heads up, programming note, Midday Mobile on the road will be on the road tomorrow on Dolphin Island. Getting ready for the Labor Day weekend, doing the show from there at the rodeo site, but talking to all kind of people. We're not talking Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. We'll probably mention it because we'll be at their site there, but we're talking to all kind of folks from Dolphin Island and talking to you as well tomorrow noon to 2 from Dolphin Island. All right, 8:37 and the cover that will be voted most popular with the ladies for the next nappies was this week's cover from Lanyap. my buddy Rob Holbert joins me to talk about. You got dudes and rescue
got
boards
some Baywatch and going on the cover. Yeah, my you know, Ashley Trice was the designer, was saying, you know, it's about time we got some eye candy for the ladies on the cover. So, you know,
this is
they're
going to
give us a run for our cover photo, huh?
You know, there it is. Yeah, I mean, you know, Sean, I've been enjoying this morning your fictitious family tree there. You know, drunk Uncle Merle and Uncle Earl. And
yeah, Earl's pretty good.
Poor, and poor departed Aunt Tilly.
Yes. Okay.
We're going to miss her.
I want you to jump in here for a second, though. I mean, I was asking really just a kind of a basic question. Sure, there's a little bit of nuance to probably everything I say, but the meat of this is a basic question of, hey, I've never seen this before. Do people make guest lists for their funerals? Is that a thing that happens?
No, I mean, you know, I've as the you know, we as most Southerners, I've got a redneck side of the family where everybody feuds with each other, and what happens at those funerals is just the people either don't show up, or if they do show up, they stay way in the back away from everybody and sort of stand there, and then they leave quickly.
I mean, because why do they come anyway?
There's no guest list that's put out, no. This is political.
Yeah, that's you know, part of this, right, is that there's political effect here, because, I mean, I guess I wouldn't, and what Kelly was saying is, you know, it's not in deference to the dead person, it's in deference to the family, not having to deal with it, but, you know, I have seen situations where there are family members that may be estranged, and if they show up at all, like you said, they stand in the back, but quite often, you don't even need to tell them they can't come, because they don't come in the first place.
Right, yeah. You can usually tell them that because they're the ones wearing blue jeans and a baseball cap in the back. And
unless there's an open bar, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's probably why they're there.
All right, talk about, other than just, and I guess you need to explain to people, you don't have to explain to the ladies because they don't care, they're just going to pick up the new copy of Lanyap because of the picture, but explain to people what's going on the front cover of the new Lanyap. Why are the dudes running towards the water? What's happening?
Well, it's a story mostly about the, you know, there's been a lot of deaths this summer, and I know that in some people's minds this would be the end of the summer, but it is, it's still a lot of prime swimming time, and there's been a lot of riptide and rip current deaths out there this summer, and we're just kind of discussing that issue and you know, reminding people what to do in that situation, because it's one of those where I know every time my kids go to the beach I start this whole thing, all right, now you know what to do if this happens, right? You know,
well, we sound the same, and you know, I've been on this soapbox for well over a decade in the city about that. You know, it seems like all the attention comes for any kind of marine life, but what really claims the most lives, that would be those riptides and making sure people are aware here locally, let alone, you know, when the tourists come in, but it happens to local folks too, so
sure,
it's worth noting.
People just forget what to do.
All right, you and I were talking during the news break, all of us were, about what's been going on with the Mobile City Council this week, and then you offered it a new part of this. What you said, a lawsuit with Councilman Fred Richardson. I thought there had been a lawsuit filed on his behalf, right, get decisions on who's president of the Mobile City Council?
Yes, it's the ongoing saga of who's going to be president of the Mobile City Council. You know, there was a lawsuit filed by a friend of his, Chastity Ebola from the Tattoo Chat fame. She filed a lawsuit, but judge threw it out, basically saying she didn't have standing. Basically, meaning she didn't really have she didn't really have a dog in this fight. So Fred now is telling us, hey, you know, I'm gonna file my own lawsuit, and he says he's gonna file a class action suit for all the people who are being you know, having bad things happen because he's not the president of the council. And so, you know, that basically he wants to have another lawsuit here to force himself, ramrod himself into the council president's position.
Okay, is this going to be in conjunction with or in lieu of? I mean, so it'll be two possible lawsuits here?
No, the other lawsuit has been thrown out.
Okay.
The other one's done. It's been done.
Okay, so that's out. So now it's class action time. So
Fred says he's going to have standing because he's a, you know, an individual who has suffered from this, and then also the people of Mobile have suffered without his leadership.
Don't you have to, and attorneys, y'all can help me out here on this, don't you in a class action have to identify that class and actually put people into that class? You can't just say there is a class, right?
I'm not saying that there's an attorney that is involved in this or has helped him come up with this plot, but this is this is what he's saying. You know, he also at this point has offered a brilliant plan to have the city put out a $105 million bond issue so that they can take all this this CIP money, and instead of using, you know, take each of their next 5 years, take it all and put it in one lump, and then they can all have $15 million programs to do at one time. Yeah. And he says that's going to save money on, because of the inflation on materials, although he doesn't seem to bother to point out the fact that he's going to also be paying millions of dollars worth of interest on this bond.
Right.
But,
and I guess,
you know, it's one of the dumber ideas ever floated, but...
Okay, and I want to back up a second here for folks who don't follow what you say CIP. Let's talk about how it is right now with the seven council districts, how the money is, how that works.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, basically what it does is it's the capital improvement program is what they call CIP, and basically each year there's, you know, they have $21 million each year that each district receives money. So $3 million a year, and they spread it out over their district, and they spend it on projects that is, you know, basically capital programs. What he's talking about doing is taking 5 years of that and saying, let's not do this for the next 5 years. We won't string this out. We're going to just have one giant bond issue. We're each going to get $15 million to spend at the same time and do one big project, and then the rest of the 5 years, we won't have any money. And of course, there's the issues, the logistical issue, just the fact, can the city even manage to do $15 million additional programs than what they're already doing?
And would that affect credit rating?
Yeah.
You know, if you have that additional bond, you have that additional debt against the city, does that affect, you know, we were teetering on having
the bond rating. It affects you have additional thing. It affects the bond. He's not even counting in the, you know, even if he gets a good bond rating, you know, even if he gets a good loan rate, you're still talking about several million dollars worth of interest on a loan of $100 million loan. It's not. To put it kindly, a goofy idea.
So, I mean, what is this?
This is the sort of leadership that the city's missing out on by him not being president.
Right, if he was president. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So, with that being said, is this have anything to do with the LAD USA money issue?
It doesn't have anything to do with this at all.
It's not in response to trying to find money?
It's in response to his friend's lawsuit being thrown out. And it's in response to him continuing to want to be council president. And, you know, it really honestly is, it's time for Bess Rich and time for CJ Small to stop supporting him on this. And somebody, one of them, needs to put an end to this and vote for LaVon Manzi and make LaVon president and put an end to this stupid thing before we spend more money on a lawsuit that is needless and ridiculous. When you get into the whole issue with LAD, and I had, you know, some council members say, look, they're really upset with the way it was handled. They were upset with the mayor for not coming to them. And I get that point, and I get their point on that. But, you know, when you can kind of also see the mayor's point when you can't, when you're dealing with a group that can't even deal with this issue. You know, this sort of issue is just, I mean, this is a year almost now of having to fight about who's going to be the president and the argument over who'll be vice president. And it's just silliness.
Rob, refresh our memory, really mine, because sometimes I have the mama brain. So you said that, you know, just make LaVon the president and let's keep on moving. Has Councilman Manzi even spoken out as to if that's something he's interested in taking over?
Sure, he wants it.
I
mean, he's done the job for a year. Yeah, he wants the job.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because November, right? Early November will be 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but some people don't mind being the number two.
Well,
some people don't mind being the VP.
I mean, Kelly, he wants to be the president.
He is the closest, unless something's changed, he's the closest to a consensus choice in amongst the seven members. Is that fair to say?
Well, they actually had enough votes to make him president
right.
at one point, but then they couldn't agree on who got to be vice president.
And so
then they splintered back off into their various groups because they couldn't agree on, because, you know, they don't want the vice president to come from the same coalition as the president.
Correct. And all this is costing us money?
Well, I mean, when you go to court, it costs money, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't. We're going to find out how much it cost for the first lawsuit. It may not have cost a tremendous amount. In my opinion, if it cost 5 cents, it cost too much. Mm-hmm. But you know, and this is going. I mean, if he does file a lawsuit, it's going to cost money.
Okay.
And, you know, but on top of that, it's time and energy, and it's more division. It creates all these things. What's the point?
Well,
you know, that,
come on.
it's just silliness. And I mean, there is somebody who's run the show for almost a year now and done, by all accounts, a very good job of running the show as council president. So why not put him in?
You know, I think this, we'll have to check Alabama state code, but as of November 4th or 5th or whatever it is this year, with Councilman Manzi having been there for a year, I think you get squatter's rights. Actually, I think it's like if I move my fence over onto your property and you don't say anything about it long enough, I can...
It's called dibs.
I can abject possession, right, or of your property, so...
Well, it's just, you know, this thing has gone on for a tremendous amount of time, and it, you know, for Richardson to put himself above the good of the city, it shows exactly why he shouldn't be leading this group and exactly why he has opposition. And, you know, again, it goes back to this whole thing of, I know he feels like he got shafted because they voted, you know, they had to publicly vote for once, but they were voting in an improper fashion in the past. And that doesn't mean just because everybody got away with it. You know, the old analogy, you know, just because everybody's speeding and you get caught doesn't mean, you know, you get to complain because everybody else is doing it. How come I get a ticket? Because you got caught, and that's how it worked this year.
But do you think that this argument is about the now or looking forward to 5, 10, 15 years from now with all those who are in place in their elected positions?
I don't know. I mean, I guess to me it's about the here and now. I don't think he cares about 5 or 10 years from now. I think he cares about being council president. I mean, the law is law, Kelly.
I know, Rob.
He's been told by multiple lawyers that it takes 5 votes for this to happen. Even the Mary Zogby, who wrote the Zogby Act, says, "Hey, it takes 5 votes to make council president." And you know, they were using a loophole in the past to go vote behind closed doors, and you know, that didn't, number one, that shouldn't have occurred, and nobody knew about it. But so now it's, you know, that's exposed. It's not going to happen anymore. And they're going to have this vote is going to have to be, I mean, you're going to have to say it's either 4 or 5, and it's already been determined it's got to be 5. So I think that's pretty simple.
We'll keep an eye on this through your reporting through Lanyap. And I want to say, before we wrap up for this week, you know, our condolences to the Pritchard family here in Mobile. I've had a lot of interaction with them through FM Talk 106.5. Obviously, Ross Pritchard, part of the Lanyap family as well. And real shocking news this week with his passing.
Yeah, it's a big hole here for us. We lost a great guy and a fantastic delivery manager, Ross. Pritchard did so much for us, and he's a terrific, terrific guy, and it was very shocking, and we're all very heartbroken to lose him.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. I think the community at large, obviously y'all, us and so many in the city, you think about the faces, if you had to put a collage together of the faces that are Mobile, Ross Pritchard absolutely is in that collage.
Well, he was a friend, but also I can tell you this, I went to sleep at night on Wednesday nights well knowing that he was putting the paper out and it was all taken care of. And that, you know, that's also for us is a big deal and from that standpoint. And he just really was a great guy. And he's going to be a tough act to follow for whoever comes in here and does it after him.
That's for sure. Our condolences to the family and y'all as well, Rob. And remind folks, too, if they want to go get the new Lanyap and going forward, they can pick it up and they can also have it delivered.
Put on your best red bikini or Baywatch outfit. Go over and you can check us out at 1,500 different locations across Mobile, Baldwin County. We're online at lanyapmobile.com, or you can also have us delivered to your home. For $1 a week by the U.S. Postal Service. Just go to lanyapmobile.com and sign up for home delivery.
Thank you, Rob. We'll check back next week.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. Rob Holbert with Land Yap. Check it in. Coming right back. But, yes, this week lost one of those true faces of Mobile. And, you know, one of our listening family here at FM Talk 106.5 and his extended family, well, his close family and extended family, part of what we do here. And it was an unexpected death and a sad one this week, the death of Ross Pritchard at the age of 63. Coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings. At 8:56, FM Talk 106.5, and wrapping it up on this Thursday morning, but not to worry, we'll do it all again tomorrow. I think so, yeah.
Sounds like a hot date.
Well, all right.
Ba-ba-ba-boom.
Yeah.
Well, dodgeball, anyone?
Oh, which, by the way, too, so you, out of your PE games.
Yeah. So kickball was my deal.
Right.
I was a kickball champion.
I do dig some kickball.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the red rubber one that when you kicked it perfectly, you heard that ringing sound? Yes. Oh, yes. That's a beautiful sound.
Nothing funnier than a line drive and kickball going right back to the pitcher's face. That was always a fun one of mine. Because you're never injured too horribly.
Right. That's what.
But a kickball to the face.
It will leave a mark.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of leaving a mark, it's like they, on that form, the hoax form, which I just think it was a joke. People like, a hoax makes it seem like it was bad. To me, it was just somebody being funny. But they did reference dodgeball. We didn't play dodgeball at school.
You did not.
We played battle ball.
Ooh. So like,
that's our coaches called it for PE, battle ball. And we would have the red rubber balls, mm-hmm. like the regular kickballs.
Yes.
And there would be one or two volleyballs that were like the sniper rifle of the battlefield. The volleyballs you could throw harder and further.
Could you palm them, or did you have to overhand?
Yeah, you could palm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a totally different story.
Yeah,
that's
volleyball.
Lethal.
So there'd be like, I don't know, I don't remember, there'd be like maybe five or six of the red rubber balls and then two of the volleyballs. And we would run, dive in trying to get those.
And when the basketball gets introduced to the dodgeball game, that can be painful also.
That the medicine ball would be different.
That means they didn't care for you.
Yes.
Did you use a medicine ball?
I'm sure that came across once. That was probably in high school.
You were twisting and turning like it was a game of Twista.
Twist again like we did last summer. All right, we'll do it all again today at noon for Midday Mobile. Laura Ingram on the way next. We're online at fmtalk1065.com. And remember, you can stream us live with the TuneIn Radio app on your phone.